Welcome to the daily VFN radio highlights at VFNTV.com. Enjoy.
You know, as we all seek to abide with the Lord and, share, ask God to speak to us about our day and what's going on. What's God saying to you, man?
Yeah, well, I was just recently reading in 2 Chronicles and talking about King Asa and his life. And it was very very relevant, especially where we are. A lot of us individuals, when we get in a when we get a time of peace or rest, or we get complacent, we think, you know, we get prideful and start thinking, I don't need to abide this morning, or I don't need to pray anymore, you know, or whatever the case may be. And we get prideful and start relying on our
own. Is that where you've been?
No. I'm just saying.
Okay.
You can get complacent where you're at, you know.
And you can?
Yeah. Believe it or not.
All right.
So I'm reading about King Asa, and, you know, he did awesome things for God. He did, he's a righteous man. He tore down all the Asherah poles that had been up, and he had
these false altars
and all this false worship that was going on in the day. And he was king over Judah, and they were at odds with Israel at the time, which is another, the land was divided basically in those days. And he sought God, you know, when their enemies would come against them. And matter of fact, over a million men were coming against him at this one time. And he sought God because they were outnumbered like 2-1. You know, they only had like 500,000 in his army. And the enemy was coming against him was a million. So, you know, he prayed to God. God answered, delivered him. You know, they won the battle. Well, then it talks about this long period of time where there was no war. And it says in his 35th year of his reign, and instead of seeking God, when this next thing arose, he started just doing things on his own. You know, he went to basically the enemy of my enemy kind of thing is my friend, and he sought the world for help instead of seeking God. And God was not pleased with that.
Right.
And what happened was he just, you know, just totally left God at that point. And
he got real familiar with
God. And then, of course, God sent
him. Had God all figured out, didn't
he? God, he did, yeah. So God, you know, sent a prophet to tell him, you know, look, I'm not pleased with this.
God sends prophets.
Believe that?
Isn't that good, though?
Yeah.
He warns us before something happens. He's so loving and so
kind. That was just it. God was warning. He said, look, you know, you can turn back. So what happened is he got prideful. So God warned him. And then he ended up getting this wasting foot disease, you know, and he had an opportunity to repent. And he didn't. He starts seeking physicians and, you know, looking for other, you know, ways to help him instead of seeking God.
Right.
So within 2 years, he dies, you know, and that's it.
Right.
And it just made me think about, you know, how, you know, especially in the church and as American, where we are right now, we're at a threshold, we're at the threshing floor, and we're at a crossroads.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, are we going to seek God or not? Are we going to seek his face? Or are we just going to just, you know, stay in our little boxes and thinking everything's just going to be fine. Oh, that's just them over there or what have you. And are we really going to get on our face and start seeking him and, you know, say, God, we repent. Forgive me my sins. You know, forgive me for my pride.
And we just forget. You know, so you hear people say, I'll never forget where I came from.
Exactly. And that just reminded me, you know, God, I know where you brought me from. I don't want to revisit it. You know,
yeah.
I thank God for everything that you've given me and how you've blessed me and taken care of my family. And
do you remember where you brought you from?
Second Street. Come on. Anything good come from Second Street?
There was just a shooting and a thing that happened there. Or stabbing.
Yeah.
So, this is a little marital dispute.
Yeah, a little bit. So it was just a reminder to me, you know, stay humble, you know, don't get lax, don't get lazy, don't think everything's just status quo.
Yeah.
You know, that's when, you know, when you fall asleep, that's when it hits.
It's so strange. I mean, it's things that you just, you know, the human nature.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's just human nature of, it is like, I guess the most dangerous times are comfort, when there's comfort and convenience, times of blessing.
Mm-hmm.
They say the military does not get in trouble until their own liberty.
Yeah.
You know, when they're not on the front lines, you know, the soldiers in the same foxhole, for example. I mean, they're not getting in trouble. They realize I need my brother. My brother needs me. And we, you know, the enemy's there, not us. But when they get on liberty, and the very same guys that were fighting for each other would lay down their life for each other and now killing each other.
Mm-hmm. Oh, there was one other thing I want to mention. You know, the when instead of seeking God, when this enemy arose, he took money out of the treasury. He took what was dedicated to God.
Try to buy him off, didn't he?
Bought him off with what was God's.
Took God's tithe.
Took God's stuff.
Oh, took his tithes and offerings and said, okay, here, I'll tell you what. Yep. If you let me keep my house, if you don't take away my car, if you don't, has the American church done that? If only 3%? Oh, my goodness. Took what was God's, trying to buy off the enemy so that they wouldn't lose things and stuff. And
yeah.
And that, you know, human nature, it's like you have to do things to stay alert. You know, when I was a police officer, I just wouldn't go straight from a still passive state and just go from that to get in my cruiser to go to work. I would, you know, listen to music. I would do things that would raise my tempo up because I'm fixing to go have to be alert. You know, you can't just be groggy and go stop a burglary or something. You know, you're going to battle. You're going to a possible situation. You listen, you know, to soldiers, stuff that they listen to on their iPod. The things that crank them up and get them, because they understand I have to stay alert. If I don't stay alert, and the Lord says, watch and pray so you don't fall. I mean, it's not wrong to do what you got to do to stay alert. And the thing about it is get in the battle. I mean, there's nobody more critical than the people who never fight the good fight of faith. The people who sit for 20 years, the person who sits 20 years on a pew or a chair or whatever and never did anything and criticizes everything that was ever done in that fellowship for God. Oh, they could have sung longer, or they should have done this, or they shouldn't have spent money there. And it's like, what have you done? You've been living in liberty while other people fought the good fight of faith. Listen, if you want to stay in the battle, you know, and that's so, you know, right on point, you know, with King Asa, that we have to do things to stay alert. And the easiest way to stay alert is don't swim in water that you can touch the ground.
Yeah.
Stay in water that's over your head. Keep yourself in a place that you have to trust God. Somebody says, well, why is it always so difficult for you? Well, you stay in the easy, shallow water and look at the struggle you're having here. That is not I don't have that struggle. And that you'll stay awake. You'll stay awake. What they found out was this. It was one particular friend of mine was shipping seafood to Tennessee. He would catch seafood in the Gulf of Mexico, and then he would ship it to, like, Tennessee. And when it got there, it was dead. And he had to figure out how to keep it alive. So it could be alive when he got there and get his money for it. And what he did was he put a fish in there. He was going to ship the fish that he wanted them to have, but he was going to put another fish in that fish that was the enemy of the fish he wanted to live. And so that fish had to stay alert. The one that he was getting money for would stay alert because if he went to sleep, he would die. this one would kill him. But yet when he was alone, the fish died. But he stayed alive because he fought.
Right.
And it's real simple to do. The Great Commission is not the great suggestion. It's a great expectation of God. We're supposed to be in the harvest field. But yeah, granted, if you're involved in a particular expression who does not empower you and teach you how to do it, you know, you chose to be where you're at. You know, one day you moved in town and you looked at a phone book and you go, okay, here's one. You know, or somebody knocked on your door and say, hey, come and visit us. But you chose, at some point, you chose to be there. So you can't blame where you are on God because of the people that you chose to be around. You chose to be around them. You can start with your own personal transformation. You can go to the VFN Torch, go to VFNTV.com, click on the VFN Torch, and go for personal, type in personal transformation at the upper right-hand search area, and you'll hear a segment talking about how I can start with me. And that whole body there, you can be the epicenter of change. and bring in transformation to the body of fellowship that you're with. But understand, you can't blame the people you're around. You chose to be around them. And if they don't change, choose to be around someone else who's actually staying in the harvest field. Mm-hmm. It's a wonderful place to be. Yeah, you're in a place where there's a lot of darkness. And yes, you know, that you're, you know, Paul talks about, I was shipwrecked and these things happened and, you know, and all these different negative things. But people became believers and we're here today because Paul was faithful. Mm-hmm. And you got to go through some stuff. Yeah, but that's what we're called to do. It's not look at some of the option, God's option. It's not opt in or opt out. But, you know, 95% statistics say of American Christians don't win one person to the Lord in their entire life. I mean, think about it. Just aim. People say, well, oh, you only witness into three people and you only got one person saved. It's like, I'm in the top 5% of the American church.
That's all.
And it's so crazy. It's like if somebody says, if you can't win 100, then don't win one.
Right.
And it's like, serious? What about the one that you win? Mm-hmm. What if you're the one that they win? That's silly. That's silly. That's demonic. That's a demonic lie. Just get busy in the harvest field. You're not responsible for their response, but you're responsible for your response to the great commission of God. He said for all of us to go into the harvest field and to preach the kingdom of God and to baptize those who believe in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Right.
And to disciple them, to teach them to the ways of God and to walk in those ways. And God will work with us, confirming his word. And with that, that's what we're called to do. Whether they respond or not, that's just up to them. He just says, dust the dust off your feet. So it's not, you don't measure your success in God based off people's responses. You measure your success in God is, are you obeying God? And the sad thing about it in America right now, and we've found this out over the years, you know, everybody that professes to know God don't want to hear from him. Not everybody that professes, let me say it different. Not everybody who professes to know God wants to hear from him. Mm-hmm. Not everybody who professes and meets religiously in the name of God cares what God has to say about their life. Not everyone. People, not everyone is as excited as we are about abiding with God and adjusting our life accordingly. This thing, you know, the naivety was, oh, everybody's going to want to know the Lord's voice, and everybody's going to go to the top of the mountain, you know, and they're going to hear his voice, and they're going to get so excited, and they're going to hear the great shepherds like, oh, many don't even want to know. Mm-mm. And only 18% are reading. It's major. But the biggest thing of all is, and God speaks about these folks, are the ones who are leading the sheep. Why aren't we upset about that? We're upset about politics. We're upset about decisions congressmen are making or whatever. But how can we not upset about us? We're saying, why aren't you preaching against sin? Why aren't we giving our real testimonies that tells people that we are saved by grace? But yet, because of the empowerment of the cross of Christ, you know, that we can walk this thing out through an abiding relationship with Jesus Christ. Why are we contented with somebody hanging around the cross and lying to them and telling them that they're going to have access to God and in heaven, they're going to make it in when they don't even know him? Mm-hmm. So there'll be a day that you'll hear the voice of the Son of Man, you shall live.
Right.
So we should be upset. And God can be in your community moving powerfully. And yes, even though you're very religious, you could actually be missing him and judging him and totally thinking you're totally right. And this was proof positive with Israel. Jesus, born in a manger, walked the streets of Jerusalem and Judea, Samaria, you know, and they didn't even know him. And they said that they were the ones that were right. And they kept on going in their buildings. And Jesus is like, I'm here. I'm Emmanuel, God in the flesh.
Right.
And they looked at what was right, and they called it wrong. They looked at Jesus, the Son of God, and they called him Satan while they found security and a building.
Right.
And it's like, it is possible. You know, just open, broaden your thought here. And it's like, broaden your get God out of a box for a moment here, your box, and say, okay, that did happen. Which means I got to pay attention. And Jesus, you know, a particular man wrote a book, and I can't remember the author, but the name of the book was Jesus Left the Building.
Oh, yeah.
And there's a lot of buildings that, you know, Jesus left. Not all. And a building does not determine right or wrong. Mm-hmm. And Jesus, you know, preached in the synagogues and temple. But the whole thing is this, that when he did, they wanted to kill him. And they just thought they were right, religiously right with God. And they called God Satan. So it's possible that God could be moving in your city, and you can be very religious. I mean, you're working yourself hard with your Easter play stuff going on, your Christmas play, you know, and you're trying to show up early. You're like this armor bearer dude, and you're helping people out. I mean, you got like a little museum going on of past things that happened. I mean, all kinds of things could be going on. And you could be very religious, but not know God.
Yeah.
And be missing Jesus. And the time is coming, and it has now come, that you're going to have to know him. And we've kind of gone through that King Asa season where, you know, America's been blessed for an extended period of time, and you can start taking all this for granted and forget how we got here and assume that since the Jews were right in saying that we are God's chosen people, and they were right, and that he did give us the Torah, and they're right, you know, all of a sudden we can say, because all our history's right, then our present is right. Because my grandfather was right, I'm right. Because my dad or my mom was right, I'm right. Because originally when this church was birthed, it was right. Therefore, because I'm going to it, I'm right.
Mm-hmm.
Does that make sense?
Oh, yeah.
And the thing is, where are you getting that from? You're supposed to have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. He loves you personally. Personally, you have to have a relationship with him. And you should want to. That's what this is not about, having a relationship with some sort of denomination or non-denomination or some, you know, organization. It's about you having a relationship with Jesus Christ. And you stand alone, as you always hear me say. No witnesses, no suspects. You can't bring in your pastor and point at him or her and say it's their fault. You know, they are the ones. You know, you're responsible.
Mm-hmm.
But now you're hearing you're responsible. So what are you going to do with that? You know, what are you going to do with that? Right. So I want to encourage you. That's just an awesome word, Pat, you know, about King Asa. And things were going so good until he got so comfortable. Mm-hmm. And then he couldn't shake himself enough to do what was right.
Couldn't do it.
And what could have lasted ended within 2 years.
Yep.
Which goes to show you that God can be with a nation.
Mm-hmm.
And the nation can choose, God's people in that nation can choose to do what's wrong. And then God says it's over.
Yeah.
If it happened to Israel, it can happen to us.
You've just been listening to the highlights from the Daily VFN Radio program. Don't forget to share them with your friends. Find more and listen to the Daily VFN Radio program in its entirety at VFNTV.com or with the mobile VFN TV app on your mobile phone or device. That's VFNTV.com.